Later. Coming up next to the stage, a returning friend of the Nerdlogs. We haven't seen her for a couple of months, but man, she told some baller stories before she took an absence from Chicago for a few weeks. But now she is back, Natasha Semrani.
So I recently moved back with my family. It was a pretty tough decision, but it really has given me a fresh new perspective on, you know, thematically, the heart and what the heart wants. It's giving me time to think about what's really important in this life, mostly after having to move back home. Money. Money's important. Financial stability is a really good thing. But the other day, my 92-year-old grandma asked me one of her favorite questions that she asks repetitively because she has dementia. Natasha, what do you want to be when you grow up? She's an opera singer in her previous life, and so she enunciates her T's with the same easy certainty that she dots her I's with in her 1950s letter. She used to write me, "Dear Natasha, the weather hasn't been the same without you. And the tomatoes, well, they're losing their bloom." She asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "What do I want to be when I grow up?" Damn it, I can't even convince my near Alzheimer's grandma in the 15 minutes we have of memory together that I am adult enough to be grown up already. Well, grandma, that question, can we start with an easier one first? She just stared at me, probably already forgetting what she had asked me. I think I want to be richer, smarter, and more carefree. Wait, that's not right. I'm not rich enough yet to be richer. Grandma, what do you want to be? She didn't miss a beat. Hot stuff. My grandma's pretty wise, and I would say wise beyond her years, but she's almost a centurion, so. She still always leaves you wanting more. We call her Grizma. I'm not really sure why, but it's fun to say. She's sort of shrunken over from osteoporosis, and her glasses, she created the original glasses too big for your face hipster trend. She's been smoking since she was 13, but for some reason she can still breathe. And she always kicks my ass whenever I'm, you know, she sees me coming in from just working out. The first two questions she always asks me is, looking at me in the most non-judgmental, judgy way Grandma can, is, "How much do you weigh?" And then, "Why are you exercising? Can't you do this?" And she'll bend over and touch the ground, pressing her palms flat to the ground. I think she has an unfair advantage because her spine has curved, but I've never been able to do it, so I still admire her. She's very wise, but she's also very mischievous. She's Neapolitan. She's from Naples, so the mafia connection is very certain. Once when my sister Angelina did something my grandma didn't like, she turned to me, my grandmother turned to me and whispered, "I'm going to push her down the stairs when she's not looking." To be honest, her wine glass was half empty, but her days was pretty steady for being three sheets to the wind. And why the hell did my grandmother feel the need to whisper that? I feel like she really meant it. I grew up Mormon, and more Mormon missionaries have lost their virgin eyes to my grandmother's impromptu expose of her scars than Idaho, the sons of Idaho, Utah, and the church would probably care to admit. We'll be in the middle of a dinner, and halfway through her wine glass, she'll just stand up and say, "Who wants to see my scar?" You're all imagining already, yeah. It starts with a cesarean section scar on the left from her first son, the one on the right from her second, and then if no one's able to stop her within the 5 seconds that that happens, she tries to lower her pants to show you her appendix scar. This is my grandma. This is what she does. She makes the best goddamn apple pie this side of Pittsburgh, because to her, Pittsburgh, where she grew up, is still the center of the world. Yeah. And she loses her teeth the way most people lose their remote. and in the same places. So it makes complete sense that on her 92nd birthday, my mother decided to give to her a pound of peanut M&Ms for her birthday gift. The woman who can never find her teeth. And obviously, for reasons I shall choose not to admit, knows how to use her mouth in ways we would not like to think about. So my mom gave her a pound of peanut M&Ms, which for those of you unfamiliar with M&Ms, are peanuts covered by chocolate and a hard candy shell. And they, with all the rest of the gifts on her birthday dinner, went to the corner with a piled up of, you know, nondescript gifts. Oh, thank you. In 15 minutes, she forgot it was her birthday. The next day, came into your room and, you know, was shooting the shit with my grandma. Grandma, what's up? We're talking. And I noticed a bowl of peanuts by her bedside on the table. Now, grandma doesn't eat peanuts, so I was surprised. But I thought maybe this was a new snack that she had embraced. So while I was talking to her, of course, Natasha, who can't touch her hands to the ground and obviously doesn't want to tell her grandma how much she weighs, went straight for the peanuts. I'm Natasha, sorry. went straight for the peanuts. The first one I ate was a little moist, but I thought it was the dehumidifier in her room just was not working too well. And I kept on talking to her. The second one, I will be honest, Goldilocks, was a little chocolatey and not quite right. And by the third one, I noticed the tiny flecks of candy shells that seemed to speckle half the batch of peanuts. And I stopped mid-peanut and said, Grandma, these aren't just peanuts, are they? I don't know why I expected an answer from a woman who can't remember how many times she's eaten breakfast that day. But I left that room, never eating snacks out of the bowls by my grandmother's bed again. And I did find the completely empty one-pound bag of M&Ms in her bathroom garbage can. I love living at home because it reminds me of the things that are most important, like family, financial stability, and always asking where the pile of M&Ms or peanuts that you're eating from came from.
Thank you, Natasha.
Yeah. Man, thank you. That was the first night back in town, and she comes to your stories. That's really fucking cool. Thank you.